Good morning. So, by way of exhortation this morning, we're going to look at God's message to Israel via the prophet Hosea, and then see a mirrored message in the New Testament, which applies to us, and tenuously dovetails into Thessalonians. So, Hosea is one of those minor prophets that most of us, I imagine, know very little about. So let's begin by figuring out who Hosea was and when he prophesied. So the first thing to note is that his name is an anglicized version of the second half of Joshua and has the meaning of salvation. In the context of Joshua, of course, this is Yah saves or Yah is salvation. It was apparently a common name, and yet despite Hosea's overall message appearing to be one of doom and gloom, it is in fact one of redemption and salvation. Back in chapter 1 and verse 1, we learn that he prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, or the reign of Jeroboam II in Israel. His prophecies cover a fairly long length of time, somewhere like 70 years. This prophecy is also distinguished from others as being the only book dedicated to written prophecies of the northern 10 tribes. Yesterday's 13th chapter begins with an overview of Israel's actions, showing their inability to follow the way that was set out for them. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 1. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He was exalted in Israel, but he had incurred guilt through Baal and died. Now they continue to sin and make themselves a cast image, idols skillfully made from their silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. People say about them, let the man who sacrifice kiss the calves. They had completely neglected the God whom they were supposed to serve, instead worshipping idols and elevating the beasts of the field to a greater standing than men. They chose human sacrifice over the blood of bulls and goats, which the law of Moses had commanded. And we know that the Israelites had been warned of the results of this by Moses many, many years before they had even entered the promised land. Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 15. But if you do not obey the Lord your God by carefully following all his commands and statutes I am giving you today, all these curses will overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and kneading bowl will be cursed. Your offspring will be cursed and your land's produce, the young of your herds and the newborn of your flocks. And moving on to verse 36. The Lord will bring you and your king that you have appointed to a nation neither you nor your ancestors have known, and there you will worship other gods of wood and stone. You will become an object of horror, scorn, and ridicule among all the peoples where the Lord will drive you. And so it goes on. And there were other contemporary prophets who would give them warnings, but nothing would ever seem to change. Israel was even more wayward than Judah. Amos begins prophesying shortly before Hosea and has the following warning in chapter 3. Listen to this message that the Lord has spoken against you, Israelites, against the entire clan that I brought from the land of Egypt. I have known only you out of all the clans of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Verse 7. Indeed, the Lord God does nothing without revealing his counsel to his servants, the prophets. Verse 11. Therefore, the Lord God says, an enemy will surround the land. He will destroy your strongholds and plunder your citadels. The Lord says, as the shepherd snatches two legs or a piece of an ear from the lion's mouth, so the Israelites who live in Samaria will be rescued with the only corner of a bed or the cushion of a couch. listen, and testify against the house of Jacob. This is the declaration of the Lord God, the God of armies. I will punish the altars of Bethel on the day I punish Israel for its crimes. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will demolish the winter house and the summer house. The houses inlaid with ivory will be destroyed, and the great houses will come to an end. This is the Lord's declaration. Time and time again, they are warned about what they were doing and what was to come. Hosea's prophecy is no different. Chapter 13, again, verse 3. Therefore, they will be like the morning mist, like the early dew that vanishes, like chaff blown from a threshing floor, or like smoke from a window. Verse 7. So I will be like a lion to them. I will lurk like a leopard on the path. I will attack them like a bear robbed of her cubs and tear open the ribcage over their hearts. I will devour them there like a lioness, like a wild beast that would rip them open. And so it was. Within 10 years of the end of Hosea's prophesying, the nation of Israel was completely taken away by the Assyrians into captivity. This punishment was not without hope, however. They are reminded of the power of God. Verse 4 of chapter 13. I have been the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and no Saviour exists besides me. I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. When they had pasture, they became satisfied. They were satisfied and their hearts became proud. Therefore, they forgot me. It is, of course, really odd that it was the graciousness of God that meant that they eventually ended up forgetting him. Just a few chapters on from the blessings and cursings of Deuteronomy 28, there are warnings with this in the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. Verse 7. Remember the generations of old. Consider the years of past generations. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders and they will teach you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance and divided the human race, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the people of Israel. Verse 12. The Lord alone led him with no help from a foreign god. Verse 15. Then Jeshurun became fat and rebelled. You became fat, bloated, and gorged. He abandoned the God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. They provoked his jealousy with different gods. They enraged him with detestable practices. You ignored the rock who gave you birth. You forgot the God who gave birth to you. There's quite a lot of similar language here to Hosea. But it shows that when God made their lives easy, they forgot about him. He is their and our salvation. And what the children of Israel needed was a resurrection. They had got themselves into a situation where they had forgotten their salvation. So in verse 14, Hosea moves on to talk about resurrection. I will ransom them from the power of Sheol. I will redeem them from death. Death, where are your barbs? Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion is hidden from my eyes. I'm sure we all notice here the similarity in language to 1 Corinthians 15, which we'll look at shortly. But it may also remind us of the vision of Ezekiel in chapter 37 of the restoration of the dry bones. Ezekiel 37 and verse 5. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. the resurrection of Israel wasn't to be any time soon, but God would not forget them. The parallels to us are reasonably obvious, and we can pick them out starting in the New Testament in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. As you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged, comforted, and implored each one of you to walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The contrasting behaviours that Paul warns the Thessalonians about can be seen in a number of places in the New Testament. We'll just look at a couple. Firstly, 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is not one wise person among you who is able to arbitrate between fellow believers? Instead, brother goes to court against brother, and that before unbelievers. As it is, to have a legal dispute against one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do this to brothers and sisters. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. Other issues are raised in the letters to the seven ecclesias in Revelations 2 and 3. Most of them had behaviours that needed fixing in some way. Let's look at the warnings to the ecclesia at Laodicea by way of example in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 14. Write to the angel of the church in Laodicea. Thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing. And you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This message to the Laodiceans is an apt warning to us today in this time of materialism. The punishment we saw in Corinthians was explicitly that they would not inherit the kingdom of God, and so it is here implicitly in Revelation. Only those who overcame would be granted access to sit on thrones in the kingdom of God. The rest would be shut out. Like the Israelites, the punishment for disobedience was death. But, like the Israelites, we also have a hope of salvation, as we see at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 8. For the word of the Lord rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has gone out. Therefore, we don't need to say anything, for they themselves report what kind of reception we have had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. God has provided a way of salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled and put on the armor of faith and love and a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. By means of death, we have been provided a way of resurrection. As we saw in Hosea, the power of God is triumphant over the power of death. Paul, in his letter to Corinthians, goes into this in more detail. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Listen, I am telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. As with natural Israel, so we see it is with spiritual Israel. We are warned about our actions. We are told what will happen if we disobey. We are given the warning of what happened to natural Israel when they continued to disobey. Like natural Israel, we have God as our rock and salvation. And as with natural Israel, we have a way of resurrection. We need to ensure that we heed the warnings of the past, looking forward to the salvation set before us, thanking God continually for the opportunity that we have been given. Continuing in 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.